The anti-American U.S. Airways merger suit is settled. Global Aviation Holdings files for Chapter 11. And welcome to London's Boris Island Airport. This is Aero News for Wednesday, November 13, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. AMR Corporation and U.S. Airways Group announced on Tuesday that the airlines have settled the litigation brought by the U.S. Department of Justice, the states of Arizona, Florida, Michigan, and Tennessee, the Commonwealths of Pennsylvania and Virginia, and the District of Columbia, challenging the merger of the two airlines. Under the terms of the settlement, the airlines will divest 52 slot pairs at Washington Reagan National Airport and 17 slot pairs at New York's LaGuardia Airport, as well as certain gates and related facilities to support service at those airports. The airlines also will divest 2 gates and related support facilities at each of Boston Logan International, Chicago O'Hare, Dallas Love Field, LAX, and Miami International. The divestitures will occur through a DOJ-approved process following completion of the merger. Also in the settlement agreement with the state attorneys general, the new American has agreed to maintain its hubs in Charlotte, New York, Los Angeles, Miami, Chicago, Philadelphia, and Phoenix, consistent with historical operations for a period of 3 years. In addition, with limited exceptions, for a period of 5 years, the new American will continue to provide daily scheduled service from one or more of its hubs to each plaintiff state airport that already has scheduled daily service from either American or U.S. Airways. A previous settlement agreement with the state of Texas will be amended to make it consistent with the new agreement. Completion of the merger remains subject to approval of the settlements by the U.S. Bankruptcy Court and certain other conditions. The companies, though, expect to complete the merger by next month. Global Aviation Holdings, a commercial provider of charter air services to the U.S. military and a provider of commercial global passenger and cargo air transportation services, announced on Monday that the company and its subsidiaries, including its two operating airlines, World Airways and North American Airlines, have filed voluntary petitions for relief under Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The company says it has taken this action to, quote, strengthen its balance sheet and gain financial flexibility as it continues to realign its operations, end quote. The company intends to continue to operate during the reorganization process. The Thames Estuary Research and Development Company, TESTRAD, has released design concepts for the London Britannia Airport, which has become better known as Boris Island, after London Mayor Boris Johnson. Buying Business Travel reports that TESTRAD CEO Bridget Rosewell said that the island airport would give London the airport it will need to support its world city status into the 21st century. The Thames Estuary Hub has been a pet project for Mayor Johnson, who supports the concept over building a third runway at Heathrow. The London Airports Commission is looking at whether or not either is necessary, but plans to present a narrowed list of options by the end of the year. A final recommendation is not likely to come until after the next general election in 2015. Ericsson Air Crane Incorporated has clarified that it is no longer affiliated with Evergreen International Aviation, Inc., or any entity owned, controlled, or operated by them. Ericsson noted that following its purchase of Evergreen Helicopters from Evergreen International on May 2, 2013, Evergreen Helicopters, Inc. became a wholly owned subsidiary of Ericsson. Founded in 1971, Ericsson Air Crane currently operates a diverse fleet of 90 rotary-wing and fixed-wing aircraft. This fleet supports a wide variety of government and commercial customers across a broad range of aerial services. No doubt they wanted to clear the air now that word is out that Evergreen will close shop at the end of this month. The first 50 Diamond Aircraft DA-40 Tundra Star airplanes, co-produced by Russia and Austria, were introduced Monday in Yekaterinburg, the fourth largest city in Russia. Together with the Ural Works of Civil Aviation, Diamond Aircraft produced 50 of the single-engine, four-place DA-40 Tundra Star airplanes in just half a year. This is the first part delivery from a total order of 117 aircraft for the Russian Ministry of Aviation. The DA-40 Tundra Star was designed specifically for the Russian market. The aircraft fulfills the strict regulations regarding landing on rough terrain and in a harsh climate. Able to burn kerosene, it can also be fueled with Jet A1, Jet A, and TC1. Wind Aero News continues. Modelers support the FAA's UAV roadmap. Low-cost airlines earning high-dollar revenues. And a final toast and a mission completed.
Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics is now the exclusive U.S. service center for Trig Avionics. Dealer-only repair services include Mode-S transponders and VHF comm radios. Count on the experts at Mid-Continent Instruments and Avionics.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamond.com. DiamondAir.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Wednesday, November the 13th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Academy of Model Aeronautics President Bob Brown has released a statement congratulating the FAA on its release of a roadmap for the integration of UAVs into the national airspace system. Brown said in his statement, quote, "The completion of this important project puts us one step closer to enabling a regrettably restrained domestic industry that is poised to infuse tens of billions of dollars into the U.S. economy. The agency's roadmap illustrates a necessary and comprehensive process for integrating highly sophisticated unmanned aircraft into the national airspace alongside manned aircraft operations," end quote. Brown expressed disappointment, though, that the FAA's plan speaks minimally to the recreational use of small unmanned aircraft, i.e. models, and the emerging community of amateur personal-use UAS enthusiasts, and offered the group's experience and expertise to the FAA in support of this growing amateur professional-use community. This year, for the first time ever, U.S. low-cost airline unit revenue on domestic routes exceeded that of the larger network carriers. That's according to Oliver Wyman's annual Airline Economic Analysis Report, released Friday at the Raymond James Global Transportation Conference. The report highlights this and other shifts taking place in the global airline market. The analysis indicates that while low-cost carriers fly shorter routes, inherently generating higher unit revenue, this unprecedented spike in domestic revenue per available seat mile among U.S. low-cost carriers is still evidence of a major change that, according to the report, quote, could also facilitate the emergence of a new group of lower-fare airlines, end quote. The report also shows Asia strengthening its position as the world's largest airline market, surpassing Europe and the U.S. Just a few years ago, the U.S. was still number one, Europe second, and Asia was third. The shift in the airline market shows why manufacturers are now focusing on Asia. The Air Force recently hosted the famed Doolittle Tokyo Raiders' final toast to their fallen comrades during an invitation-only ceremony on November 9th at the National Museum of the U.S. Air Force. The ceremony was attended by three of the four living Doolittle Tokyo Raiders. One of the three, retired Lieutenant Colonel Richard Dick E. Cole, the co-pilot of Aircraft No. 1, opened a bottle of 1896 cognac, the year of Doolittle's birth, and gave the final toast, saying, quote, "Gentlemen, I propose a toast to the gentlemen we lost on the mission and to those who have passed away since. Thank you very much, and may they rest in peace," end quote. The Doolittle Raiders received a standing ovation from the crowd, but before closing the ceremony, retired Colonel Carol C.V. Glines, the historian for the Doolittle Raiders and a distinguished author, said, quote, "This concludes the ceremony and also completes a mission," end quote. I'm Glenn Moyer. As always, I thank you for listening. You're now cleared for departure.